Welcome to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene Forte. Let's try a little bit of private investigation on investigations of attorneys. Yeah.
77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip.
77 yeah. Kooky, kooky, lend me your comb. This is Gene Forte, and this is another hour of AttorneyBusters.com. For my first-time listeners, I am not an attorney. I don't provide you any legal advice or legal opinions. All the information that I'm going to be sharing with you has been developed from my own personal experiences at having to deal with some good old boy judges and good old boy attorneys. And yes, they do exist out there. Now, mostly on our program, what we do is right now I am investigating the investigations of some attorneys. And we're going to be showing how these investigations all become just a bunch of nonsense. But let's get right into the show. Last week, I received this message regarding my request for an investigation of the county attorney, Mr. Dennis Keneally, improperly removing court clerk files from the court clerk offices in Osage County, Wisconsin. Listen.
Mr. Forte, my name is Gus Worth. I'm returning your call. I'm the chairman of the Osage County Board. Regarding your investigation or proposed investigation, I have looked into the Dennis Keneally and having files outside of the clerk of courts. This did not happen. He had a copy of the files, but he did not have the original files. The files were available for Mr. Magritt, as he did state. It was one document that was put into his claims file, which is what we thought it was for. But the files have never left. I did investigate it, and I believe that this shall close your inquiry.
Now, even though he would like me to sleep well regarding that assurance by Seamus Gus Worth of his investigation, I decided to give Mr. Worth a call back and ask him a little bit about how this investigation that he conducted was conducted. Listen to this.
The investigation proved to me that there was no improprieties, that there is no law broken. Therefore, I can't do anything.
How long did that investigation take you?
How long did it take me?
Yes.
Let's see. Maybe about 3 hours.
And that's when you contacted Mr. Keneally, correct?
Mr. Keneally, Mr. Smith, and others. Who were they? I won't tell you.
Okay, so now he's contacted. Remember, Mr. Keneally is the county attorney that works for Mr. Worth. That's a man that is in prison right now. Says that this Mr. Keneally had removed clerk of court files from the clerk of court's offices and caused a foreclosure to take place on the man's property. Mr. Worth has already told me that he doesn't want to tell me the names of the other people he's talked to. Listen to what he says next.
No, I'm asking this question. If Mr. Keneally and Mr. Schmidt had actually removed clerk of court files from that and they committed a crime, do you think they would confess that to you?
They didn't.
Would they confess that to you?
I would certainly think they would have.
Listen to the reason why Mr. Worth thinks they're so believable.
They have high integrity, I'm sure. I have known them and worked with them for many years.
Let's see what Mr. Worth would do if he could immune himself and other officials that he's worked with for a lot of years.
It has to do with whoever enforces the law, which is not me, Mr. Forte. I'd love to because I'd immune myself.
So we've got an official here, Mr. Gus Worth, that's saying, hell, I would immune myself. I mean, this is going to be an easy investigation. Let's go back to the recording that I have of Mr. Dennis Keneally. This is the individual that I had a conversation with. He is a county attorney, and let's hear what he says about these clerk of court files being at his office or not at his office. You tell me what you think of this conversation.
He had gone to the clerk of the court, right? He was informed, he said he had some witnesses with him, that the files were not there at the court clerk's office, but they were at your office.
Now, the files have always been at the clerk's office. What the clerk of court does is when you get some of these papers that are just massively incomprehensible, they will send them over or ask me over to say, what do we even do with this to understand what it is?
Now, wait a second, PIs. Did I hear a change from the beginning of that sentence to the end of that sentence? The files aren't there, but they get there? Let's go on.
They are never kept here and were never kept here. If anything, they were sent down to me to look at to say, what is this, and back within a day or so. So no, we don't keep any of those files. We have copies.
You have copies of them, but you never had the physical files inside your office?
Not that I know of. I mean, if Jeff sent one over here, it was to look at. He may have sent one down. I review as many as I can, and often it's I go to their office, sometimes they'll send it here, and then I send it right back. So
okay, now...
It came here, it passed through, it was never kept here.
Were those files there or not, or how are they not there if they only passed through for a day or so? And if they were there, I don't know, any hands in the audience out there, let me know what Mr. Keneally's telling me. Let me tell you what I told Mr. Wirth I thought his investigation was.
I sincerely think that this investigation that you supposedly did with these individuals is absolutely nothing but a whitewash. If you expect to take the information from Mr. Keneally...
I was not looking to whitewash anything.
Well, Mr. Keneally...
What I was looking for was if there is a policy in place, if that policy is being followed, and whose policy isn't.
Let's take a look at this policy that is in place.
Well, Jeff Schmidt said that if I was to go there and remove those clerk of court files or somebody walked out of that clerk of court's offices with those records, he would call the security of the building because that would be a theft.
That is correct because it is his. It is his. He is the one that sets the procedures for his department. He's an elected official. And he has set in that no files leave his office.
Therefore, when he gave the files
it's
to...
It's not a crime. It's a Jeff Schmidt... It is a Jeff Schmidt procedure.
Okay, quick, everybody, get out your law books. Let's look for the old Jeff Schmidt procedure that is entitles him to give files out to other parties. Let me know when you find it and give me a call at 888-211-6035. 24 hours a day. I don't care because you find it. I will give you $12 bazillion, okay? Let's go to another area of this because I just had to ask this Mr. Wirth some more questions. I couldn't help it.
What do you mean? In other words, you're saying that he says the clerk of court files can leave the clerk of court offices?
If he said that?
I mean, that's what I'm asking.
If he said that, in some areas, I understand that that is correct, but he does not. So, and he assured me that he does not. It is just like if you had a sign on your door that if you knock on this door, I will open it quickly and you'll fall in. I mean, it's your procedure, not a crime.
But, wait, no. If he told me, as he told me, that...
Why are you trying to make this into a very big thing? It's very simple. Jeff Schmidt has advised that it has a policy, and it's his policy to make, that no files leave his area. And I investigated, and no files left his area, according to him, and according to the people that work for him, and according to Mr. Keneally.
So this is a well-known Jeff Schmidt procedure, and if he breaks it, well, he can break it, but nobody else can.
What are the people that you speak to that worked for him that said that?
Do you want my whole complete file? Are we in a court of law here, Mr. Forte?
No, I'm asking the question.
Okay, I do not recall.
So now Mr. Wirth has this one down. He's getting ready to be in a court of law. Okay, I'm on the witness stand here. I know. I don't recall. A little bit like Schultz. I see nothing, I know nothing, and I hear nothing. This is Sandy Gusworth. We're going to be right back in just a little bit with some more AttorneyBusters.com and, oh boy, an investigation by Shaman Gusworth.
AttorneyBusters.com's radio program was created by Gene Forte to expose judicial corruption. We at AttorneyBusters.com believe that we are all entitled to fairness in our courts and from the officers of the court, including judges and attorneys. If you agree with us, enjoy our program, or have your own experience, please let us know by calling 888-211-6035 or visiting our website, attorneybusters.com. Your support matters. We all need to stand up for what is right. Again, 888-211-6035.
Speak to me. Why are you building this thick brick wall to defend me?
Welcome back to attorneybusters.com. Well, we're conducting an investigation ourselves here of an investigation done by Mr. Sandy Gus Worth, a real shameth. We have been trying to push forward to get county officials to investigate the matter of a Mr. Dennis Keneally, that is a county attorney, taking clerk of court files out of the clerk of court offices. And a little bit earlier in the program, we showed that Mr. Keneally told me in an interview that the files never come to his office, but when they are there, they only pass through for a day or two, and I'll go into that. We now come to this report that I'm now getting from Mr. Gus Worth, who said that he conducted an investigation. Let me play you a clip of what this investigation really was.
First reporting.
Yes.
You've asked me to make an investigation. I have made a verbal investigation of the two parties that you asked me to do. I did. I found nothing wrong. I found policies in place. I was told of policies.
Is this a written policy?
I have no idea.
I would like a copy of the written policy.
Talk to Mr. Schmidt and get
it. If Mr. Schmidt hangs up on me, what am I supposed to do?
I have no idea, but I would strongly suggest that maybe you would get it from, if it's a policy, if it's a written policy from him.
This Mr. Schmidt is the clerk of the court back there, and let me play a conversation that I had with Mr. Schmidt last week to show you what type of a attitude Mr. Schmidt has.
How can I help you?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Jeff Schmidt.
Oh, Mr. Schmidt, this is Gene 40 calling from attorneybusters.com, the radio program out in Los Angeles, and I'm glad we're having a chance to speak. I was asking if someone came into your offices, the clerk of court offices, and removed the court files from there. If I was to go there, or an attorney was to go there, and take those files and walk out of that building, who would you call to report that to, if that was happening?
Building security, but the chances of that are happening are slim to none. What happened, we would call building security.
And what law would that person be breaking, removing those files from your offices?
I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you what law he'd be breaking.
Well, you're in charge of a clerk of court. I figure that, in other words, those...
That's what we have attorneys for, is to do the charges. I would call and report a theft.
But if those files are being removed for the purposes of... Specifically, Mr. Makers has said that he went there to look at his files at one time, and he had witnesses with him. And when he went there and asked to look at the file, when you looked in the file, you did not find or see the answer to the complaint that Mr. Makers had sent to you that had been stamped received by your offices. He said that at that time that you picked up the phone and you called Mr. Dennis Keneally and asked him if he had the answer in the files over there at his offices. Is that what took place?
That's absolutely correct. I've testified in court to that, and it is because of all the nonsense paperwork that we get from Mr. Magritz, there was no reference to a case number on there. It was misfiled with another file, and it's since been returned.
But that was the answer to his complaint.
I'm going to refer you to Dennis Keneally. He's our attorney. It was not a legal answer. We don't have to accept anything that isn't to form. Please do not call my office anymore. We are not accepting your calls. Thank you. Have a good day.
Excuse me. May I ask?
So that was Mr. Jeff Schmidt. And gee, it seems like Jeff Schmidt just told us something a little bit different. Didn't he say that the papers did go over to Mr. Keneally? Well, he's saying that something was misfiled. But at the same time, he said also that what Mr. Makritz said was absolutely correct. And what Mr. Makritz had said was that he went there to the clerk of court's offices, looked inside the file for the answer of his complaint, did not see it there, asked Mr. Schmidt where it was, and Mr. Schmidt picks up the phone and calls up Mr. Dennis Keneally. Now, we've heard from Mr. Wirth where he's relentless regarding what statute is this? What law has been broken? What statute is this? You can go to WISBAR. That's www.wisbar.org rules. And here is what the rule is. In the matter of removal of files from the Office of Clerk of Courts, whereas it has been the policy in the past to permit attorneys, title examiners, and other interested parties to remove official court files from the Office of the Clerk of Courts and register in probate, and whereas such practice has caused both inconvenience to the courts and concern relative to the proper keeping of such files, now therefore it is ordered that no files shall be removed from the Clerk of Courts and register in probate offices of Osaki County, Wisconsin, by anyone without first obtaining a written order of the court permitting such removal. Dated at Port Washington, Wisconsin, this 19th day of March, 1982. Everybody back there in Osaki County, the officials know that those clerk of court files cannot leave, and we are just getting an outrageous runaround and cover-up by these officials. But listen to some more of these clips, because they really are a laugh.
If you were going to make an investigation of an investigation, for example, just taking the investigation I made, how are you going to go about that?
I just did. I just found out your investigation was absolutely a non-investigation, Mr. Wirth.
Your website, your website person is in Oregon, Wisconsin?
No. We have...
That's where it's listed.
No. Our website is attorneybusters.com.
Yeah, but it's listed to a person in Oregon, Wisconsin.
No, not so.
Look her up.
No, not so. Where'd you get this information from?
Off the internet.
What is her name? What time was it? Was
no.
It exactly on Tuesday, Mr. Sir?
What other attorneys?
Tuesday time, did you... What, do you realize that your city grade signal in downtown Los Angeles, you know where it is?
Well, you keep on saying that. Where does this come from?
You are really in trouble. I'm going to talk to the FCC.
Where are you saying that? You're going to talk to the FCC about my radio signal?
Yeah.
Oh, when are you going to do that?
On the radio.
When are you going to do
that? About as easy as what you're talking to me about. I think that you're a trip artist, but that's okay.
I'm a what artist?
A trip.
What does that mean?
Someone who's looking to trip someone up on the phone, but that's okay.
How can I trip somebody up on the phone if they're telling me the truth?
Because you can put your tapes together. I haven't heard your show, but I'm sure that you would. At any rate.
If I gave you a recording of Mr. Dennis Keneally telling me that he had court clerk files at his office, that is not hearsay.
It sure is.
Not if he's saying it.
You are the one that called him.
No, he's saying it.
Hey, hold it.
He's saying it.
Absolutely, positively, you dialed his number. You got connected. You knew who you were talking to.
Yes.
I did not know. You mean I would have to recognize his voice?
You can hear him saying it, Mrs. Dennis Keneally.
Do I have to recognize his voice? Is that what you're saying?
You don't have to recognize
voice recognition that I would recognize his voice.
He says it's Dennis Keneally.
Aren't those funny?
You want me to call an investigation for something that I don't know happened, that I have no knowledge of what happened, I have no knowledge of the document, but please investigate it for me? Is that what you're saying, sir?
No.
Is that what you're saying, sir? Because I don't have any teeth. You have the teeth. Check your website. It's located in Oregon, Wisconsin. Put that on your radio station.
You say that you checked who is website, and you said that my website, attorneybusters.com, is operated and owned by somebody in Oregon, Wisconsin.
Name is operated. It is the name, the registrar of your is in Oregon, Wisconsin, is correct.
That's incorrect, but I'm going to check it.
Let me share with you for a moment some information on Sandy Gus Wirth. Mr. Wirth owns a company called Delta Satellite Corporation, involved in distribution of satellite and earth stations, investments in cellular telephone. He owns a company called Global Cellular Corporation. He has a BS degree in physics. He has a BA inside of business administration. He's got a lot of postgraduate various degrees and honors. That's his private life. Inside of his public life, he served on many committees out there in Osaka County. One is a government management, and as head of that committee, they installed complete countywide backup communication systems. In another committee, he was also responsible for installing countywide two-way radio systems over 1,100 radios. He installed a countywide telephone system with direct inward dialing. Gee, those things seem like that would be a great thing for Mr. Wirth and his companies to be involved with from the private sector into the public sector. Is there anything wrong with an individual from his private sector life involving himself on committees inside of the public sector life? No, provided that there's really good reviews of those contracts to make sure there are no conflicts of interest. My point of this is that Mr. Sandy Gus Wirth, I think, is a plenty smart individual. And during that interview I had with him, I thought maybe I just wasn't communicating properly because he just didn't seem to get it. Did he not get it intentionally? What do you think?
Mr. Wirth, would you believe a law had been broken if a document is removed from a court clerk file by the county attorney?
Would I believe that a law has been broken?
Yes.
No, I would not.
You think it'd be all right for a county official to
say that? I said that a law would not have been broken.
Well, what would you think would have happened if a person does that?
A policy may have been broken, but not a law.
So Mr. Wirth is trying to tell us that, you know, maybe a policy would be broken if these files were removed, but not a law. In other words, what Mr. Wirth is trying to tell us that essentially, if a county attorney or an attorney goes down to the courthouse and removes a file from the courthouse that causes an individual to get, say, electrocuted in an electric chair. Well, you know, that attorney didn't break any law. He might have broken a procedure, but who cares? Is anybody really buying this story of Mr. Wirth? I personally am not. Let's listen to another clip out of Sandy Gus Wirth's report regarding what this investigation was.
Now, are you saying to me that your radio station,
yes,
has got full city grade signal?
Yes.
Wherever it is licensed.
Yes.
Because I don't believe that. Because I checked, and I was trying to listen to it, not myself, but I had somebody out there. And you're not at 0.3 microvolts in Santa Monica or close to the Santa Monica, Los Angeles border. Did you know that? Did you know that the FCC requires that you have a city grade signal?
Whoa, Mr. Sandy Gus Wirth is really across the boards on this one. Now we got to watch out for our signal at KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. It's not strong enough. He's going to call up the FCC and get our license jerked. Comes down to one thing. Like I told you at the start of the program, sham investigations of attorneys are the major problem that we have in the country. Follow this thought. If we did not have sham investigations, that means we have honest, legitimate people conducting investigations of attorneys. If we had that, that means that we would find out when attorneys did commit crimes. And if they did commit crimes, then we'd be able to hold them accountable. And my God, you know what? All of our problems start to go away. This is AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene 40. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. This is Gene Forte, and we are on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk. We continue our investigation, fellow Seamuses, into the investigation of an attorney conducted by Mr. Sandy Gus Wirth. And let's just get right into some of these clips, because me trying to set them up and explain them to you just doesn't do it justice. You gotta listen to the words themselves.
Do you think it'd be a crime if a county attorney removed an answer to a person's complaint and then followed through and got a foreclosure against that man's property and took his property away?
I'm not an attorney, but I will tell you this.
Yeah?
I think that if that man, if I owed $30,000 for 6 years on a piece of property, I think I would find a way to pay it.
So Mr. Wirth wants to say, hey, don't look at me, look at him. And by the way, what statute is it anyway?
Yes, but what does that have to do with Mr. Keneally removing a document from the file? Are you saying that would be okay?
I'm not an attorney. There's no such thing as that, and you cannot give me that statute.
Mr. Wirth, let's just talk common sense here.
Why don't we talk about, no, because what you want to do, sir, at your prerogative, is you want to make an arrest for someone, and I'm trying to find the law. To help you.
Mr.
You're going around and chasing yourself in a circle.
Mr.
Very, very simple. The law that was broken.
Give you the law.
Theft. Give me the statute.
Obstruction of justice.
Give me the statute.
What does your police department and what does the DA's department do there regarding an investigation of this?
Yeah. Very simple. The DA upholds the state laws.
Yes.
And you haven't given me one yet, Mr. Forte.
I haven't counted how many times Mr. Wirth asked me, what statute's broken? What statute? You listen.
There's a law that's been broken.
Well, there is. What law is it?
If the law is it,
Mr. Forte, give me the number.
Crux.
The statute that you just said.
Theft.
Give me the statute. Get me the statute that you said that there was a law that was broken. Now let us find, give me that statute that says that the law has been broken by taking a file out of the clerk's area.
Well, let me ask you this.
Give me the statute.
Listen to this next statement, and I'm going to have a comment about it.
Interrogated them and found that they have not taken a file out of that area. We'll guard that with regard the files with my life, was the statement made to me.
So what kind of files do you protect with your life, but if they're removed, there's no law that's been broken? Interesting. This next clip involves Mrs. Sandy Williams, that's the district attorney of Ozaukee County, and later we're going to talk about a letter that I sent to the Victim Witness Assistance Program, asking why they are not doing their job.
And is Mrs. Sandy Williams, are you saying that she is not investigating a state law that was broken?
She's not investigating. She's not even wanting to hear about this matter.
Is she not investigating a state law?
I don't
that
know what she is doing.
The accusation is of our district attorney.
It's not an accusation. It's an outright statement that she is not making any of my calls.
She's not investigating a state law, Mr. Forte?
She's not investigating.
That's what you're stating.
She's not investigating anything. So of course it would be
not investigating, doing her job, which is to preserve the state of Wisconsin's laws and also the laws of the, I guess, the United States government.
That's well, but she is not.
State of law.
She is not.
And she is not.
She is not.
And point to the law.
Okay, Attorney Busters, I have over about 95 clips of the conversation with Mr. Gus Wirth. And I'm trying to lay them out so you can follow him a little bit, but it's really kind of hard because he keeps on circling around to simply asking me again, what statute has been broken? What law has been broken? All right, folks, let me ask you this again. If there are court of clerk files, those files are inside of the courtroom in the clerk's office, and those files are removed by an opposing counsel, and that opposing counsel takes a document out that causes a man to lose his property, do you think there was a crime committed? Do you think something has been done regarding, let's see, evidence tampering, obstruction of justice? You name it. Come on. Go back to Perry Mason, Class 1A. This cannot be done. But Mr. Wirth does not want to go ahead and admit this, and he does not want to go ahead and bring it to the DAs. The DAs ignore the situation also. I had contacted Sandy Gus Wirth, as you know. Sandy Gus Wirth would send me back to the DA's office. The DA's office would send me back to Sandy Gus Wirth. And finally, at the last call to the DA's office, this is what the DA told me.
Because you've contacted how many people in our office, and we continually say the same thing.
I get this. No, I do. No, you do not.
So
no, you do not. I have every
again. We're going to have to say it's phone harassment.
Oh, so you? Oh, wait. Which you're saying? Now you're saying there's phone harassment because I'm getting the runaround, and I have every call.
This call now, sir.
I have every call recorded.
Now, I had contacted this DA's office, I think it was four times across a period of 2 months. I talked to, I believe, three people that are simply the receptionists that I get to the front desk with. And I keep on getting this runaround. Now, on the last call, they say that they're going to say what I'm doing is phone harassment. Well, when that happened, I decided to contact the Victim Witness Assistance Program, which is out there in Wisconsin, that's supposed to protect individuals from being intimidated from either A, not reporting a crime, or being a victim of a crime that somebody is trying to stop you from going ahead and telling them what happened. Let me bring into focus for a moment a letter that I sent to the Victim Witness Assistance Program, to Ms. Beth Hodorowski, that is also part of the DA's department in Osage County, and how this letter caused an article to be written inside of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week on March the 5th. And we're going to be covering that letter a little bit later. But let's listen to this conversation that I had with Ms. Hodorowski.
I'm calling Beth. Did you receive my fax a week ago?
I did, yes.
What are we going to do about this?
Well, unfortunately, I really can't assist you at all. I work with victims of criminal acts. And because nothing has been charged, then I'm not able to assist you.
Well, we've got a problem here then, because essentially there has been a criminal act committed by Dennis Keneally, the county council. I have tried to have this brought forward by, the police department. They told me to contact Sandy Gusworth. Sandy Gusworth tells me to contact the district attorney's office. I make a total, I think, of four calls to the district attorney's office. And each time they've told me now, well, I think the third time was to go back to Sandy Gusworth. I go back to Sandy Gusworth. He sends me back to the DA's office again. And my last call was to Amy, saying that she was going to have to say what I was doing was phone harassment. I consider absolutely outrageous. And I believe that's exactly what they did to this man, Mr. Stephen Magritz, now. And it all centers around an investigation of a county attorney, Mr. Dennis Keneally, removing documents from the clerk of court offices that should not be removed. Now, we need to have this investigated, and I am going to push forward on this, but I need your help, Ms. Hodorowski, because I am a witness to a crime right now, and I'm trying to make sure that crime gets addressed. So what do we have to do?
You're really not a direct witness in terms of the underlying concern that you have. Because you didn't actually see Mr. Keneally, who's been, who has can take court files out of court.
He cannot.
You didn't see him remove any documents, so.
He told me he'd, I'm sorry, yeah, go ahead, Ms. Hodorowski.
In that case, then you're really not a witness of that incident. So we don't have any pending charges, and I only can assist folks who we have an actual criminal complaint filed.
Well,
I'm sorry, I can't help.
Do they have cue cards, play cards, a playbook? It's the same thing. Beth Hodorowski is now saying, well, because there's no complaint filed, there's nothing that I can do about it. That's the same thing that old Gus Worth told me. Let's listen to this next clip.
Well, you know, Mr. Keneally's an officer of the court. So I'm sure that in his daily business, he often works with the actual clerk of court file and takes them to his office. I mean, he works for Osage County. He's an officer of the court, so.
I have in my hands the circuit court rules for Osage County regarding files. It is ordered that no files shall be removed from the clerk of court's offices of Osage County, Wisconsin, by anyone without first obtaining a written order of the court permitting such removal, dated at Port Washington, Wisconsin, this 19th day of March, 1982. Hup-yah!
You know, I know you're getting the runaround, and I wish you could put all your efforts in, because you're really working hard on something that really may make a difference, and I think you're at a dead end.
Let's see if I got this straight. I'm doing something that could really make a difference, but I'm getting a runaround, and Ms. Hodorowski thinks I'm basically at a dead end. What is this telling me here? Doesn't seem right.
Well,
I'm sorry I can't help you. I can't get involved, and I, good luck to you.
Well, may I ask you this? Didn't Mr. Magritz also contact you?
No.
I happen to have in my hands a file-stamped letter received by the Osaki County District Attorney on October 7th, 2002, from Mr. Stephen Allen Magritz. Let me read to you what the letter says. Attached hereto is an affidavit of probable cause by a victim and witness of a crime with regard to the activities of Attorney Dennis E. Keneally perpetrated against the individual. I request that you respond to me within 30 days with a simple yes or no to the following question. Are you, Sandy Williams, going to prosecute Dennis E. Keneally? Signed, Stephen Allen Magritz, with a notary public stamp. One item, here's what he states. The aforesaid documents received by Schmidt were time and date stamped, but instead of placing them in the case file, Schmidt transferred them to Dennis Keneally, Osaki County Corporation Counsel, an affiance opponent attorney who concealed them. I don't know. Sounds pretty clear to me what this man was trying to tell them. Somebody not being honest with us here? I then think to myself, well, maybe the sweet-talking Miss Beth Hodorowski can help me by getting me to somebody else. So I asked.
What contacts do you have at the State Attorney General's office then? Because we do have a crime by a public official that should be investigated by the DA's department, and now we're getting the runaround from the DA's department regarding this incident. What do we do?
I don't know, from your letter I got the impression that you've also talked to other agencies, Department of Justice, Attorney General. I think you took it as far as you can. Apparently a crime wasn't committed or something would have been done.
No, what's happened is this is the other issue, is that Mr. Worth contacted me back, left a phone message on Friday, or it was Thursday, that what Mr. Worth had said was that, well, he has investigated the matter, and that essentially Mr. Keneally had copies of the files, not the original files there. But that contradicts totally with what Mr. Jeff Schmidt, the clerk of the court, has said. And again, Mr. Worth is not the person that would be in charge of conducting a criminal investigation of a crime that essentially Mr. Jeffrey Schmidt, the clerk court, says that if someone was to remove clerk of court records from that office, that he would call security to have them arrested for a theft.
Sure, but I don't believe that would involve people who are officers of the court. In the daily business, they have to have access to that information.
Well, Ms. Orosi, I've talked to Carol at the clerk of the courts in Osaki. She says the clerk of the court files cannot leave those offices with any attorney or with anyone. I've checked with the Monterey County clerk of the court, the head clerk of the court here, and she verifies absolutely not. Clerk of court files cannot leave the clerk of court offices, even with an officer of the court or an attorney, especially the county attorney cannot do that. He doesn't have any special rights, Ms. Odorowski, to do that.
Well, we agree to disagree, and that's all right. But at this point, there's no criminal matter pending, so I can't help you.
Okay, so you're saying because the DA's department will not take up the criminal investigation because they're saying I have to go someplace else, even though they have not told me where to go, that there's no crime been committed because essentially they're not trying to acknowledge or investigate it. Is that it?
I didn't say that. I said at this time, there's no pending criminal matter, so I can't help you.
All right, well, here's my request, if you can. Can you contact the Attorney General's office and tell them of my phone call to you?
No.
And you won't do that?
It really doesn't apply to what I do.
All right, have you spoken?
You're more than welcome to do that.
Okay.
I can give you a phone number.
Oh, well, let me ask you this. Have you spoken to Ms. Sandy Williams about this?
I have heard of your telephone calls, but no, we haven't.
Well,
there's nothing to talk about. We don't have a case in our office. So.
How did you hear about my telephone calls?
Basically because I got your fax, and then I followed up in the office asking if anyone knew anything about it.
Well, shouldn't you maybe contact Mrs. Williams and then speak to her now about this regarding this investigation that I'm requesting? Pardon me?
No.
Well, I feel that the DA's department is essentially trying to threaten me by alleging phone harassment charges against me while I'm trying to pursue an investigation of what I believe is a crime.
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, what would you do?
I can't help you.
Okay. All right, well, look at Ms. Hodorowski. Thank you very much, and portions of this will be aired on our program, and we'll see if the public thinks about it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, public, what do you think about that? Didn't she have a nice, sweet-sounding voice? This is a Victim Witness Assistance Program Director, Mrs. Beth Hodorowski. And what she's telling me is, well, first of all, she has this idea. She knows the laws better than Gus Wirth, for God's sakes. She's saying that, well, you know, Dennis Keneally, being an officer of the court, he can remove those files. Audience, no, he cannot. He cannot remove clerk of court records from the courthouse, unless he gets some type of a special order from the judge. But there was no special order from the judge. But Mrs. Hodorowski had that down pat, didn't she? Do you think that any of these individuals out there in Wisconsin right now are talking inside their offices? When I asked Mrs. Hodorowski, well, have you talked to anybody about this matter? Well, I did talk to somebody inside the offices here regarding your phone calls, but I didn't talk to Sandy Williams, the DA. Well, gee, Ms. Hodorowski, can you talk to the DA now about this? Oh, no, I can't do that. It's kind of like, I know, let's say you're being murdered out inside the street and you're pounding on somebody's door, asking for help, and they're looking through the people and say, oh, gee, no, can you just move down just a little bit? I'm sorry, but I'm really busy eating my dinner here. Let's look at a letter that caused all this stir this week that went to Ms. Beth Hodorowski. It was addressed to the Victim Witness Assistance Program, and this letter caused an article to be generated inside of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Dan Benson. What was in this letter that was so, so devastating or exciting to people out there? What caused this letter to actually become the topic of a county board of supervisors? This letter got into the hands of a man by the name of Mr. Robert Brown, who is head of a group out there called the Christian Civil Liberties Union, and Mr. Brown then circulated that letter to the 37 county boards of supervisors. And when these county board of supervisors apparently read this letter, they went through the roof. And that's why I had a phone call from this Dan Benson. Well, when Dan Benson does this article inside of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I got some emails. But the email that I received, one of them I'm going to share a few, is from a man by the name of Mr. Kenneth Woods. Let me tell you what he states, first of all. He states, I have heard tales told by idiots, but the one you spin takes the cake. What he goes on to state is, he thought that I was some type of a tax protester. I then wrote an email back to Mr. Wood, and I explained to him that no, I was not a tax protester. I did not support Mr. Magritte's filing of bogus liens against individuals out there. But what I really want to emphasize was essentially that I believe that county officials should be held accountable if they are caught committing a crime. Mr. Ken Woods then wrote to me and apologized for his comments, saying that he believed they were out of line, and I wrote back to Mr. Ken Woods saying there was no apology necessary, because when I read the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I could understand how he could think that I was a tax protester, which was somewhat confusing to me, because I want you to listen right now to the clip of the interview that I had with Mr. Dan Benson.
Please understand, I told this to Mr. Wirth, I do not condone the issue of Mr. Magritte being a sovereign citizen and all this and you know, not paying taxes. That's not where I'm coming from on this matter at all.
Let me read for you the first paragraph of the article written by Dan Benson in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Stephen Allen Magritte may be behind bars for filing false liens against Osaukee County officials, but those same officials aren't being allowed to forget him. Thanks to a California radio talk show host and other allies of the tax protester. Doesn't that seem that I'm a tax protester, that I'm supporting a tax protester? I am not. I certainly hope the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel becomes a little bit more accurate with their reporting. And there's a lot more things in this article that I can take issue with. I'm making available to all individuals that wish to get them complimentary copies of the interview that I did with Mr. Dan Benson, so you can see some of the details that I gave him that were left out of the article. I believe it is extremely important to try to keep the communications with the general media out there very clear right now because the Osaki Press over in the Osaki area did an absolute smut and smear campaign against Mr. Makritz. And why was this done? I have information that shows that all of this connects right back up to the governor of Wisconsin, James Doyle, and I believe that Mr. James Doyle has enough power in Wisconsin to control media. That is my point. Another letter I received was from Dorothy Malice down in Costa Mesa. Dear Gene, a friend told me about your program on Sunday. I was delighted that someone took on the justice system. You are a very brave soul. A group of us get together and always complain about lawyers and judges, but none of us have had the guts to take them on like you have. I hope that you are having and taking good security measures. Thank you, Dorothy. Dorothy right now also is embattled inside of a redevelopment program in Costa Mesa. Good luck to you, Dorothy. Thanks for the email. Another letter that we received was from a Miss Carrie Nelson out in Phoenix, Arizona. And Carrie writes that she's having a problem with trust lawyers. I am in the fight of my life right now. I've had to hire two attorneys, one in California, the other here in Arizona. My mother left an estate of a little more than $250,000. My mother also made the mistake of putting her trust in the advice of her trust lawyer. After she was badgered, for lack of a better word, my mother finally accepted the advice of her trust lawyer to accept this trustee whom she had only met one time. Bottom line for Carrie Nelson, these attorneys are gutting that trust for all of their legal fees. I have a lot more emails, can't cover them today, because I want to highlight now the story we're going to be covering this coming week and an ongoing investigation concerning another attorney, Marvin Ripp, an attorney for First American Title and Trust Company, whose home office is located here in Santa Ana, but Mr. Marvin Ripp happens to be located out in Wisconsin. What is Mr. Ripp accused of doing? Forging a document of Mr. and Mrs. Michael and Kay DeRoe that caused them to have their dream absolutely destroyed, and how that investigation has now led back to California about an attorney here that's being investigated for not investigating properly Mr. Marvin Ripp. Listen to these clips.
This is Marv. Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ripp. My name is Gene Forty, and I'm calling from a radio program out here in Los Angeles, California. You'll be hearing the beep going on. I hope I didn't catch you at a bad time, first of all. Did I? Okay.
No.
Let me tell you the purpose of my call. I do a radio program called AttorneyBusters.com out here on KRLA 870 AM Smart Talk, and a caller had called us in and told us about a story that took place out there, and I guess it was the town of Oregon that I think your company is located around or in. Isn't that where you're near?
In Madison, yeah.
In Madison. And what this involves is, it involves a real estate transaction that it was said that your offices, that you specifically had actually,
they said Mr. Doro.
Mr. Doro, D-O-R-R-O.
We won that case, and he's really out of line in everything he's saying.
Notice that Mr. Marvin Ripp is the one that brought up Mr. Doro's name first.
I understand that his wife did not sign that transfer, and that apparently she was saying that your secretary had thought that that was actually her signature on that, and that she had also thought, had said...
This is all incorrect, and the conversation is over. I'm just surprised you would do something like this. Good day, sir.
Well, excuse me, I don't... hello, Mr. Ripp?
Ouch, there's another hang-up. Why didn't Mr. Marv Ripp want to talk about the allegations of his forgery of Mrs. Kay DeRoe's signature on a document that devastated both Mr. Michael DeRoe and Mrs. Kay DeRoe's life? We'll find out more about that next week and how it ties in to an investigation of Mr. Robert Lowy, an attorney in Beverly Hills, and a sham investigation by the State Bar of California. But closing up, a tribute to the letter that I sent to the Osaki Victim Witness Assistance Program that caused the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care what money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby, she
she wrote me a letter, attorneybuster.com style.
Well, she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't do without me no more.
Yeah. Have fun this week. Stay tuned to attorneybusters.com next week, 3 to 4, KRLA, 870 AM. We are After Sham Investigations of Attorneys.